We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown, Bears!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, destined for greatness since the fields of Cathedral of St. Raymond. Tom Thayer has achieved it all, and we are delighted that he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Tom, good morning. What a joy and a pleasure and an honor to share the airwaves.
Morning, Tom.
Oh, my God. You're so – hi, David. Hi, Mike. How you guys doing? You're
know,
still full of baloney, but how you doing?
But that's – well, I'm an Irishman. I'll tell you this, though, Tom. As I watch the Bears play, there's like a splinter in my mind. It's so great to see them win in the way they're winning, and I know that it's wrong to complain about the way a team wins, but there is something – again, I said to David earlier, are we going to complain about a defense that limited a team to 13 points in the NFL? And the answer is kind of yes, because it's just not as good as it could be, as maybe it should be.
Yeah, but it's the second game of the season. I think you know, I've been listening to you guys since 6 o'clock this morning, and it's kind of like you're asking for a finished product within the second week of a regular season with a shortened training camp with about 10 new moving parts, including coaches and players. So to me, I look at it the other way. I look at a tape to see what can I correct. What mistakes are they making either repeatedly or glaring mistakes that make that they need to be a better team going into Atlanta and down the road. So, you know, if you looked at it every time with a woe's me approach, I think you're never going to improve a team that includes like 80 guys trying to develop either the position they play, their responsibilities, or how old they are in terms of their career. So, I'm a half a glass half full guys, instead of a glass half empty.
Fair enough, Tom, and I respect that because I think you're looking at it from the player's perspective and you understand how difficult a victory is in the NFL. I guess it just is a product of, number one, the opponent, which is, you know, the Giants and the Lions are not exactly two of the top teams on the schedule. And the other thing is I think that you when you build up a 17-point lead at halftime, I think you felt pretty good about the direction of things yesterday if you're a Bears fan after two quarters. And then something happened, and I'm not sure what, because the emphasis on the running game has been there through two games. And I think the balance that you're looking for and the identity that Matt Nagy wanted to establish has been established in a way because the offensive line has been better. But what's missing then? What is the next step to go from, okay, we've emphasized the running game, we've achieved more balance, but it's not quite there yet. What needs to happen?
A lot of the details. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, at times he's got to, you know, run the play according to the plan, because as – you know, as great as the catch was on the first third down by Allen Robinson and it continued the drive alive, the fourth play of the game resulted in a sack that Mitchell Trubisky should have thrown the ball to Tariq Cohen out to the left-hand side rather than taking a sack. But all that's correctable by reps and by the evaluation of it on tape. And if you see it right now, David and Mike, you know, when you go through a four-week training camp, if you're going to try to install a new play, you're going to run it probably 45 to 70 times during the course of a training camp, during the different periods you run. Right now, you're trying to install new material, and maybe you get four or five, you know, turns at it, you know. And then if the defense doesn't react or they're not set up in the way that you've configured them in practice to according to the analytics and stuff, and then you're trying to figure it out on the run. So that's what I'm saying. In week two of this season, it's unique. Now, if they're still doing if they're still having these same issues in week five, in week seven, yeah, then, you know, then the radar goes up and, you know, you have issues that you got to take care of. To me, I look at the correctable mistakes and try to move forward. And you're trying to achieve a new identity, or you're trying to run the ball more to be, and you are able to accomplish that, but it's still something, in motion. You still, you know, the offensive line is going to be more well organized in a couple more weeks than they are right now. New head coach, new guys in certain positions, and you know, it is performance based. So listen, I'm not, you know, putting them in Super Bowl conversation, but I'm not saying just because they played the Giants and the Lions this early in the season that, you know, oh my God, they're going to go down and play Atlanta, who just gave up 40 points, and you know, what's going to happen. I see a developing pass rush. I see an offensive coordinator in Atlanta that has to be a lot more concerned about his pass protection responsibilities, guys that maybe he has to keep in now that you didn't have to before, Robert Quinn or Mingo has, you know, had some good pass rushes and stuff. So, I you know, you have to look at, you know, the positives going forward rather than just dwelling on the negatives. But I do think Matt, he points out the negatives as much as he does the positives.
I thought it was interesting the way the Giants tried to play the Bears close to the red zone and the way Trubisky took advantage of that. On the first touchdown, he buys time, he kind of sells the run, and then he does whatever that was. Was that a jump pass? The little pass to the sideline to Montgomery, who takes off. And then the second time, again, they're only rushing like three guys, and he's got time, and he buys himself more time, and then he can wave at Darnell Mooney and throw a touchdown pass and take advantage of that guy's abilities. That was great. I mean, it was good to see him kind of understand, you know, how to win that grass football battle when a play breaks down.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the thing about it is they talked a lot about this amoeba defense before this whole game took place with the confusion. So when they were running that defense on third down, they were still only rushing three, maybe four guys at a time. And it's just about the responsibilities of the offensive line. Try and, you know, don't get out of position. Just do your responsibility. Take care of your area of concern and then provide the time for the quarterback. To me, it's more encouraging that Mitch kept his eyes downfield, didn't panic, didn't try to run away from the pocket, even though he at one time in the Mooney touchdown, he was attempted to run upfield, but he didn't, and then, you know, located the receiver and threw the touchdown. So, you know, those are, you know, some of the building blocks of, you know, of what you want Mitch to do in those cases. So, yeah, it is encouraging. There are two plays that, you know, kind of took a little bit time to develop, but he did find the outlet in David Montgomery, the first one, and he had good, you know, kind of understanding relationship with Darnell Mooney to get him open the end zone. To me, I want to see more Jimmy Graham going forward. Before the game, I said I would rather see 84 get more carries and 32 get more catches. And I think that, you know, those types of things can open up the game plan and maybe limit a little bit of the in-line of scrimmage abuse of David Montgomery so you have him for the long haul. So, you know, I'm not disappointed. I'm not, you know, I'm, you know, kind of like a coach going forward. I'm going to sit here and coach what they're doing well, but I'm also going to coach harder what they're not doing so well yet.
Okay, Tom, on defense, let's look at 13 points is a positive. That you definitely should win most games that you give up only 13 points. Look at Danny Trevathan. I'm curious in how they're using him this year, because it is a matter of conditioning, perhaps, that he's not playing on a lot of passing downs. They bring in Nickel and they remove him in a way that they have not removed him in the past. Is that going to change, do you think? And how important is it for him to get back to the point and the level that he's used to be playing at?
You know, everybody wants to see Danny Trevathan get back and, you know, show like the speed that he's displayed here and, you know, while he's been healthy. I do think, you know, when you get to that stage of your career, it is a product of having more reps, having more time on your feet, having more tape to evaluate what your opponent is doing. Because when you go in there blind against the Detroit week one, yeah, man, he got caught, you know, a couple times completely off guard. And, you know, receiver, whether it's a tight end or running back running by him. But I think the Bears are fortunate that, you know, Chuck Pagano is not Vic Fangio. So when you start developing different plans of attack, now you insert a safety instead of Danny Trevathan. They're fortunate that Deion Bush has had a solid camp, that they have confidence where they can play him and put him in those coverage responsibilities. It's just like the development of Roquan Smith. Now, instead of Roquan coming out on passing downs and Danny staying in, now Roquan gets to stay in. He has the ability to cover backs out of the backfield one-on-one. He can run with a tight end, and even in a disaster situation, he can line up to the sideline and run with the running back. So, you know, the transformation of personnel is a constant in the NFL. And when you have hopes of young guys developing, that's always going to challenge veterans. So, I think that's the case. I don't think Danny's exempt from that, but I think also he and everybody else understands that it's about playing better the next game, not like you played a couple of years ago.
I didn't understand at the end of the game when they went for the 50-yard field goal by Cairo Santos that he did not hit. I didn't understand why they didn't run the ball. I know that Mitch kind of ran out and then slid down, but I didn't understand why they didn't use David Montgomery, who had gotten some chunk yardage in the second half, definitely in the first half. I just thought that if you're going to kick a field goal there, why not move forward? Why not, you know, I think it was a 49-yarder before that play started. Why lose a yard? And technically you had a sack there, as opposed to if you know you're going to kick it, why not try to gain 3 or 4 yards? I get not throwing. You know, if it's incomplete, you're not eating time, which is what you want to do at the end of the game. But if you know you're going to be attempting a field goal there, why not run the running back?
I agree with you 100%, Molly. But, you know, it's like going back to the last three plays before the first half ended last week in Detroit. I was disappointed in the way they called those plays, because they gave Detroit an extra possession opportunity to score, and then they come out and they have the ball to start the second half. When you go to that, I think there's also learning elements for Matt Nagy, the play caller, as well as there is for when the plays didn't succeed. So I think that anytime that you can keep the ball in the hands of the running back and, you know, instill more confidence in your offensive line to get the job done, you know, that's the way to go about the business, because David Montgomery is a tough tackle at the line of scrimmage for losses. And I'm in agreement with you there. But it was also, there's a couple design runs for Mitch that, you know, that they didn't work out as well as I see Mitch running the ball. So there's just elements that everybody is held up to in a different standard of improvement. And, you know, I don't think Matt's exempt from that, just like any of the players that are being judged to play in and play out.
All righty, Tom. Thanks so much. Really appreciate your time. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, man. It's good talking to you.
That was Tom Thayer. Always a joy to talk to Tom. I want to talk to you, too. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. What's your takeaway from this start? Where do you rank the Bears? Are they a top third of the NFL team at 2-0? Only 10 teams out of 32 are there. Or does it leave something to be desired? Is it wrong to feel dissatisfied with victory. 312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the score.
2-0 in this league. I just told the guys in the locker room, it's one of the things I said, is it doesn't, like, the way that ended and just, you know, the guys are tired and the way it went with scoring no points in the second half, it certainly doesn't feel as exciting as it was last week when we won with a comeback and scoring all of our points in the fourth quarter. So, but I also told our guys, now listen, it is not easy to win in this league. I don't care who you're playing, and we're 2-0. So what we got to do now is we got to go back and we got to balance out, okay, where are we at as a team right now? Do we like our identity, offense, defense, special teams? How can we get better? And that's what we'll do. I have all the confidence in the world, our coaches, and then the players, they'll criticize themselves too.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy, and fascinating to hear the coach acknowledge what I think we all have seen, David, and what you wrote about this idea that you know, it's great to be 2-0. It's important that you're 2-0, and yet they're 2-0 with a lot to be worried about. The headline on David's story today, go to 670 the score. Bears are an undefeated team, but not yet a good one. And I think that's accurate. I think, David, that they are still trying to find whatever it is their identity is. Now, again, I think Tom is correct. I think that, you know, we're expecting a finished product in a weird off season where they had no chance of putting together the kind of preparation that you need. Certainly defense behind offense at this point, I think all over the NFL. But nonetheless, it's just not good enough yet. It really isn't. It's good enough to beat these teams, but not good enough to march through a season and get to the playoffs and all the rest of it.
Yeah, that's the way that I saw yesterday, and I think a lot of people did, but it's also very good for us to get called out by Tom Thayer for maybe looking at it at glass half empty, because I think there are two ways to look at the first two games of the Bears season, and I get where he's coming from, and that is a very valid point. It's difficult to win in the NFL. You heard it in the voice of Akeem Hicks when he talked about 2-0 being delicious. It just feels like there's some empty calories there. You know, they're not victories that are, you know, that is, have much substance when you beat the Lions and you beat the Giants. And I'm just trying to be honest, Mully, and I know you are too. It's like I felt a little bit more discouraged watching the Bears win yesterday than I did after week one, because in week one over the Lions, it was a road game. It was an opener. They showed some resilience in coming back. And yesterday, I just felt like they held on and they didn't build off that lead, and they were too careful. And I don't know if it was necessarily the approach as much as it was the execution. I felt like the second half, Mitch Trubisky was more concerned with not losing the game than going out and winning it. And that's going to be something you expect from a young quarterback, but certainly not a guy in his fourth season as a starter.
Eddie Jackson had a 54-yard interception returned for a touchdown that was nullified by pass interference on the play. And he was unhappy with that call and felt it was a bad one. But if you actually watch the play, guess what? There was pass interference on that play. And I know that no one wants to – everyone would prefer – and had they – had that stood, I think we'd be having a different conversation. And
yeah,
it would be, aren't the Bears great? Didn't the defense get it done? But you can't run through the guy before the ball arrives in order to get that pick. And I mean, look, I think that it's real easy to sit here and feel slightly dissatisfied because it came down to the end of the game for a team that you were up 17-0 on, and they'd lost their two best offensive players. Why not call that out?
He broke on the ball, and he got there before the ball did. That was an easy call, and it was a great return, and I think that was why he was reacting to it the way he did. You expect the Bears to do that defensively, because that looked more like 2018 version of the Bears defense than the 2019 version of the Bears defense. Let's hope Tom's right. Let's hope the rounding into shape. Let's hope the conditioning issues are resolved. And I do find it very interesting, though. I wonder what you think about the Danny Trevathan usage. He's a guy that was so good last year, and it was so missed and when he was gone. And they paid him in the offseason, and now he's, you know, essentially a two-down linebacker.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We'll start with Joe. Joe's on the south side. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of things bothered me about yesterday's game. Specifically, and Molly, you brought it up, the field goal attempt, which to me, you know, percentages are very low that you make that. Why wouldn't you try to punt it, pooch punt it, or even if it goes in the end zone, they bring it out to the 20-yard line. You give them great field position when you miss that field goal.
Yeah, you gave them 20 extra yards on that final drive. If you kick if you punt it there, then maybe it's 30 yards, maybe it's 35 yards. But as you say, no matter what, it would have been 20 yards. So that seemed nuts. And again, I have no problem with that choice, but choosing to kick a fifth, all of a sudden you're aggressive when you weren't aggressive with your play call. If you want to be conservative, David Montgomery, have him run. If he gets 4 yards, all of a sudden you're in a different stratosphere. You're talking, I think it was a 49-yarder. It's a 43-yard field goal attempt. If you get any kind of run, they're in that weird defense anyway. I didn't understand it at all, to be honest with you.
It's a really good point, Molly, because you have to look at missed field goals now can be turnovers. We saw it happen with the Bears and the Lions in week one. We saw it happen again yesterday. Not everybody has a Chiefs kicker. They're going to kick 3 straight 56-yard field goals to win the game, you know, that like they did yesterday in overtime. That was something that it's fair to question. Absolutely.
Frank is in the West Loop. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I usually don't call or really worry about football too much until baseball's over, especially this year. But I'm a diehard Bear fan, like I think everyone in Chicago is. You know, they are the worst 2-0 team in football. But how I look at it is this. There's only 16 games, okay? They got a 2-0 start already. And I think the thing that just blows my mind is – I'm not a Mitch fan, but fine. He's our quarterback. We have to live with it. How a man can look terrible, like he shouldn't start at St. Joe's High School, and then come out like he did in Detroit. And to be honest with you, be an above-average quarterback. You know, yesterday, he had a good game. Okay, there was a few passes dropped. I'm not going to put that on Mitch ever. I wouldn't put that on any quarterback. So that's how I look at it. I mean, listen. Every week that goes by is one less week, one less game on the schedule. And who knows what can happen, especially in this year. It's a crazy year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and diss Mitch. I thought he was better. I think that the problem is that when you don't pick up his contract, when you go out and trade for a former Super Bowl MVP – there's going to be pressure put on the signal caller. And when you started the season with him and it was three quarters of hell followed by just hellish, you know, in a good way, and the fourth quarter, and then you start on fire, you hope that you're going to make it easier on yourself. You're looking for consistency over the course of a game and not just in sort of these short bursts.
I got a point I want to make on Mitch, but let's get to a scoreboard update first.
Okay, let's get to Kempo.
A little bit of both. You always got to give credit to the defense when they're making plays and making you get off the field. We can't turn the ball over, and that's myself and the whole offense included. So I just got to continue to make good decisions, not putting the ball in harm's way, and stay on the field. But it's definitely us staying in rhythm, us staying aggressive, and everybody being on the same page and having that mindset that we got to go out there and finish. So we got to look at it, correct our mistakes, and keep getting better.
Mullion Hall on the score. That is, of course, Mitchell Trubisky. And, David, you said you had a thought on him. What is your thought on him?
I think once he went up 17-0, I feel like the second half he played too concerned with being efficient and he forgot about being explosive. And I think when you get to that point as a quarterback, it's what you see a lot in – young quarterbacks trying to develop confidence. I think this is his fourth year of a starter. You would like to see him take more chances downfield. We can't blame Matt Nagy forever. We can't blame the play caller for all of this. He has done his part in two games in terms of restoring balance to this equation. The they're trying to establish the run. But at some point in time, it's incumbent upon the player to make plays and to use the freedom with which he's given. And Mitch has got to take more risks to get bigger rewards. And I just don't think you see that. Yesterday, the longest completion was to David Montgomery, and that was mostly David Montgomery. You don't see him taking the chances downfield when you have a guy like Allen Robinson. You don't see a lot of air under the football. You don't see him taking those shots. I'd like to see him take more shots. I'd like to see them be more aggressive. Maybe that's not him, and maybe they'll conclude that at some point it has to be Nick Foles. But for Mitch Trubisky to be a winning quarterback for the Bears, I think he's got to be as concerned with being explosive as he is efficient, because you lean one way or the other is not good. You got to find that balance for him.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls, but next we'll bring in Olin Krutz. He is he's on the Hall of Fame ballot, and he's on that ballot for a reason, and we're going to pick his brain a little bit next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Olin Krutz.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the game. I got to sit in the end zone, and I got to watch a lot of Hicks and Matt. And those two guys together, I'm going to tell you right now, Kat, I would not want to face those two animals.
Olin Krutz.
Kat, we were watching, and we were like, man, that is a tough defense to come in off the bench and face.
Olin Krutz.
If the offense ever does catch the defense, well, then we're going to be doing a Super Bowl show, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll come along, Kat. I think they will get better. How good, how quickly, that's anybody's guess.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Oh, we run down the stairs every morning like it's Christmas Day when Olin is waiting under the tree. What? Olin Krutz joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler.
It's amazing. That never gets old. Huh? It's amazing. I love it every time.
It's so silly.
Hey, Olin.
How are you, Olin?
How's it going, guys? I'm good, man. I'm really good. How about you guys?
You know, I got to tell you, we're trying to figure out what the Bears are, who they are, what the signature of the team is, and how good are they? It's, you know, there are only 10 teams in the league that are 2-0, and that's a happy, wondrous thing to be a part of that. And you know how hard it is to win in the league. But there's also this sense that, oh, my God, how could this game be this close? How could you be still watching this? I thought we were going to turn on baseball at some point. It was such a blowout.
Yeah, and before I did this Score hit, I scrolled through my phone just in case I said anything negative. I didn't want Captain Positive Tom Fair to call and scream at me after I analyzed this game. So let me be careful here when I start to talk about the Chicago Bears. I don't want Coach Tom to call me and say we're trying to improve. But they looked good in the first half. If you watch that, man, you got that first drive, right? And they walk, go down the field, and Mitch uses his feet when the Giants are only rushing three and dropping eight, and he finds Montgomery and they score on that. And then Quinn comes out and gets a sack immediately, and you're going crazy because it's what you've been waiting for, right? You've been waiting to see Quinn and Mack and Hicks and Roy Robinson Harris on the field, and then you get the exact result you wanted. But, of course, the Bears only get a field goal out of it, which was, you know, which you started to worry about. And then, like you're saying, you go through the whole game. First half, they put up 17 points. Should have probably had 24 with Miller's drop, which was a great pass in the end zone. After, I think it was after the second turnover, I think Deion Bush's interception. But, you know, you're waiting for them to just blow them out, and it doesn't happen. The second half totally changes, and you're wondering what happened to the offense. The Giants start moving the ball. They go on a 95-yard drive against our defense, who had two turnovers in you know, and only gave up 13 points, so it's hard to pick at them. But you just wanted more. You wanted them to blow them out more. And really, if you just really just sit back and think about it, all we're saying, all you guys are saying is, if you compare the two teams who play these two teams, you watch the Steelers and the Packers, two teams that people argue are playoff teams, it's not the same result, and it's not the same kind of dominance, and that's what you're kind of worried about.
And Olin, we're always trying to project where this is headed. And this is what I think I alluded to before the break. And last year was sort of easy to blame the play caller and Matt Nagy's role in sort of the offense not scoring points, because he was all over the map and trying to establish one thing over another. This year, you get this real sense that he's going to emphasize the running game. So the balance that was lacking is now there. So now, to me, it's almost up to the player at some point, or players, but I guess essentially the quarterback, to make enough plays within this structure, within the confines that we ask the coach to provide. At some point in time, talent has to prevail. And I wonder if this is where that's headed, because if they continue not to score points after we're getting this kind of game plans that we have been asking Matt Nagy to structure, at some point you're going to wonder where the rest of it is going to come from. And I just, that's what my biggest concern yesterday was in the second half, is the quarterback was being really careful. And I don't know if that's going to work always.
Well, yeah, and they did take a shot to Demetrius Harris down the field on a play-action rollout, little half boot they did. And so the Giants changed up their defense just a little bit as they needed to start to make plays, and they started to rush one more or two more rushers and speed up Mitch's clock a little bit in that pocket instead of just rushing three. And that kind of changed the game a little bit. And Mitch missed Allen Robinson on a third down. And then, you know, they missed that shot that they took. So the Giants did change their defense a little bit, which helped. But, you know, the Bears were running the game, running the ball really, really well in the second half. I think one time they got a chop block, guys. It was like first and 25, and then Montgomery went for 23 right after that. They were just running the ball down their throat. One time I saw Cody Whitehair had the Giants nose guard, Dalvin Thomas, and he had him 10 yards off the ball, which you don't see a lot. And of course, you know, being a former center, I am screaming watching that, because that is, to me, that's the best thing I can see on a football field, is a nose guard making a tackle 12 yards down the field. But they don't finish the drive after that great design. Not only was the O-line blocking yesterday, but you have to remember Bobby Massey ran a great route and caught a pass for a first down, so that was awesome, right? So the O-line, well, they were dying to take over that game, but, you know, that's just – the only thing you have to compare it to, guys, and what you have to go to is, okay, the Bears, they are running the ball well, right? They ran against the Lions. I think they ran 28 times for 149 yards. Well, guess what? The Green Bay Packers ran 35 times for 259 yards, right? So you have to compare these things and say, okay, where are we – as a team, right? And when the Steelers played the Giants, you know, the Bears rushed for 135, the Steelers rushed for 141. So is it the teams they're playing? Are you matching the teams that are considered playoff teams? I would say the Packers are looking like right now they're the best team in the North. I mean, it's probably the Bears are going to have to beat the Packers to win the North, right? And the Steelers have a great defense, and they gave up 16 points for the Giants and caused two turnovers, and the Bears gave up 13 points and caused two turnovers. So if we're talking about where are the Bears, those are the only things we have to compare right now after two games. And I don't think you can put, Matt Nagy said after the first game against the Lions, we're not going to put deodorant on this. Well, I don't think you can put deodorant on that second half, what it looked like against the Giants after they lost Saquon Barkley and Shepard, their good wide receiver, and they're still moving the ball on the defense down the field, and we couldn't finish the game or score any points on offense. And as you said, David, they're running the ball, but it, like we talked about from last year when they played the Broncos and the Chargers, it's not equaling points, and that's the problem.
Are you surprised the passing game isn't more vertical at all? I mean, even when you start running the ball, the way they're running the ball, doesn't that open up more play action? Isn't there the possibility of bigger plays down the field? And, you know, again, I thought that the two touchdowns were both kind of breakdowns where Mitch could play his style of football while the Giants were just rushing three guys and putting everyone back, and that almost played to his advantage.
Yeah, they're rushing three and dropping eight early in the, you know, almost the whole first half, really. And Mitch did a nice job in O-line, blocked. I think he got the ball out after 5 or 6 seconds, bought some time, and hit Mooney and Montgomery for two touchdowns. And you're right, and I'm sure, you know, we haven't had the sideline copy yet of this game, but I'm sure there are designs where guys are going deep. I mean, I'm sure they sent Mooney deep a couple times
That kid looks like he's going to be a really good wide receiver. And you just have to look at it, and why didn't Mitch take that shot? And like I said, they took one shot to Demetrius Harris. I think it was either a little overthrown maybe. The defender covered it really well. But probably not the guy you want to send deep at that part of the game to try to take a shot. You probably think about Jimmy Graham there, or Mooney like we talked about, or Allen Robinson. You know, that New York Giants defensive back who was covering him one-on-one the whole game, and I'm looking for his name right now. Bradberry did a nice job. Yeah. Did a nice job adjusting to what the Bears are trying to do. And that one interception was the first time that the Giants actually, you know, the Giants, people don't want to play. They don't want to play man against Mitch Trubisky, but they have to go to it because they're losing there and they have to make a play. And they do come up with a play there. And, you know, you trust Allen Robinson there to either come down with the ball or knock out a defender's hand, but the kid makes a great play. So, I don't know. You know, you got to get deep. It's been this offense's problem for a while of just getting guys in the end zone. And it's been our argument for a while saying that everybody keeps talking about the run game. The problem is scoring points. The problem is the run game is efficient. If you even look back to last week when they had those two late touchdowns and they had three touchdowns, I think in the fourth quarter or in the second half at some point, they were running the ball well all the way through the game, and they didn't score. They didn't score while they're running the ball. They scored when they started throwing the ball all over the place. So they have to find a way to tie this run game into points. They did it on the first drive yesterday with some really nice play-action passes. Mitch is really on fire there in the first half, picking apart that Giants defense. And then the Giants defense kind of caught on to what they were doing. Don't understand why on the first interception they went play-action out of shotgun, which wasn't, you know, under center was working for them all game. All of a sudden you're out of shotgun trying to run play action, which I don't understand, but they did it anyway. So just got to tie that run game into scoring points. And you know, like this is for Tom. I know they're gonna work on it. Okay, they're going to work on it, and they're going to get better at it.
Olin, you have policed locker rooms in the midst of public contract disputes, whether it was Lance Briggs or whoever. And last week, Allen Robinson's kind of spilled over into the public eye. And yesterday, he had one of his five least productive games as a Bear, 3 catches, 33 yards. From the outside looking in, knowing what you know, what it's like inside of a locker room, are the two things connected? Was it a distraction, and do you think it had any impact on his performance yesterday?
Well, it's a distraction because of what you just said, right, because of how he played it. And you never want to get into someone's business. And Allen Robinson, I think we can all agree, deserves to get paid. Just want him to keep playing at a high level and not let that affect his game, because that is the best way for him to get his money, is to just keep playing at a really high level. I'm sure something happened in negotiations that pissed him off. You know, I'm sure something was said about him, or maybe he didn't deserve what he got. I remember in 2001, I think I was up as a free agent. And I think they played, I was going to my first Pro Bowl, and they paid Brian Robinson, R.W. McQuarters, and I went all the way to free agency and went through some of that where, you know, all of a sudden you hear, well, we don't think you deserve that kind of money, and you know, you're not really worth that. And some of those things can tick you off as a player, and it's easy to say, like, this is just business and don't take it personal. But when that's your craft, when that's what you're working hard at, when you believe in what you're doing and you believe that you're doing everything right, I'm just guessing here, but sometimes to go through negotiations and hear maybe a negative thing about yourself when you're giving this team everything, that can affect you a little bit. Obviously, all his teammates and the coaches came out in support of Allen Robinson during the week. I think everybody's saying the same thing. Eventually, this guy needs to get paid by the Chicago Bears. But when you look at just the situation and then you look at the game yesterday, you know, you can say it wasn't because of that, but look, if you don't produce on a week where that happens, and I think both interceptions where the ball was thrown to him and whether he should have drove to the ball to get that first interception or fought off Bradberry for the second, he was a part of those plays, and it's hard not to tie the two together.
Olin, I have a very distinct memory. After you signed that contract, after you got the new paper, Cliff Stein was sneaking downstairs to get a sandwich or something, and you were standing there, and you chased him back upstairs, told him to start working on your next deal.
This is true. This is true. There was also Big Cat used to make like a bazooka out of Gatorade bottles. This is how much sometimes we have too much free time in that building. And I was laying on the ground in the grass, pointing it at Jerry Angelo's window, yelling, "Get my contract done." So, you know, a young Olin was an interesting. It was an interesting ride.
Oh yeah,
for everybody at Halas Hall and for all the media and some teammates also. So there are a few stories that probably aren't good for radio, but those are a few.
Great stuff, Olin.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
I love the Battle of the 57s, too, Molly, with Olin calling out Tom Thayer, Captain Positive. Wow.
Wow, that's funny. You know, and David, to answer your question, I don't know how much the contract thing affected one. And let's face it, you know, Allen Robinson's a really good player, and he didn't have a good game. But it obviously was almost a death blow to Anthony Miller. I mean, I don't know how, but
right,
he played worse than I've ever seen him. And he only had three passes thrown his way, and God, he was just no damn good yesterday.
Good day for Darnell Mooney, though. What a outstanding performance for the rookie.
All right, let's get back to some phone calls on it. 312-644-6767 is the number. What did you think of the timing of Tariq Cohen getting the new paper and how that affects? It's obviously significantly less money, but a lot of money for a Tariq Cohen. Would you have waited on that? Would you have tried to get Allen Robinson done? Does it just, when things come up, they come up? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.